from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Today is the last day to register your current vacation rental with the city of San Francisco before home sharing sites like Airbnb will have to remove it. And those sites are already seeing a dramatic drop in available rentals. We'll get into what this means for the city's housing stock and the burgeoning sharing economy. Then at 9:30, the Department of Justice says more than 17,000 sexual assaults occur at work every year. We'll get an update on a 2015 investigation by KQED and media partners about immigrant women janitors who were assaulted on the night shift. Many are now organizing and fighting back. It's all coming up after this. Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. If you've been renting out a room or your apartment on a home sharing site, today is the final day to register with the city before your listing will be removed. The registration push is part of a settlement San Francisco made with sites like Airbnb and HomeAway last May, and the companies agreed to work with the city to set up pass-through registration systems on their sites to make sure users were renting legally. But only a fraction of Airbnb hosts have met city requirements. That's according to the San Francisco Chronicle. And joining me now to talk about it is Carolyn Saeed. She's here in studio with us, business staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning, Carolyn.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Christopher Nolte, who joins us by phone. He is head of public affairs in the Americas for Airbnb. Welcome, Christopher Nolte.
Thanks so much for having me.
Glad to have you. And Carolyn, let me begin with you. This is, we give a little background here maybe. This is about short-term rentals, and there are many that are exempt, about 2,600 in fact, but added regulations. And what are those regulations? What do they amount to?
So the city has actually had regulations in place since February 2015 that were widely ignored that called for all vacation rental hosts to register with the city. So as you say, it could make sure that they were legal. The city wants to make sure that landlords don't turn apartments into hotels. Only about 1,800 hosts registered out of an estimated 7,000 to 10,000 hosts.
It's way down.
Yeah. So that was before now. That was, you know, as of a year or so ago. So then the city implemented much stricter rules that would make the hosting platforms like Airbnb and HomeAway liable for very steep fines and even criminal penalties if they arranged stays in unregistered homes. Airbnb and HomeAway sued the city. A judge pretty much rejected their arguments and ordered them to work with the city on a registration system. They've hammered out an agreement that, again, as of today or tomorrow, any host who is not registered must be kicked off of those sites. The other sites that were not party to that settlement, like Flipkey, which is owned by TripAdvisor, also have to kick off unregistered hosts. They have had to do it already. Airbnb and HomeAway have had 4 months to sort of phase in a registration system with their users.
How does this affect the housing supply? I mean, that's been the big sort of question mark in all of this.
Right. That is the $64 million question. So I'm sure Christopher Nolte will tell us, and I think it is largely true, that many Airbnb hosts are regular people who are renting a room in their home or their entire home when they're on vacation to make ends meet. That doesn't hurt the housing supply. What does hurt the housing supply is if people take entire apartments or homes and turn them into full-time vacation rentals. We've done several investigations and found a few hundred such apartments used as hotels on Airbnb and other sites. Theoretically, now with this new registration requirement, those would be kicked off. However, there is a loophole. The people who own those or rent those can turn them into 30-day plus rentals, and then they are exempt from registration and they don't have to put them back into the permanent housing supply.
How strong is the accountability for renting illegal units? I mean, at this point, you've got a new short-term rental category, a pretty small operator, I think, don't you? What, three people in the office who are investigating these?
I think they have seven or eight people, and the whole point of the registration system is it will make their job a lot easier to investigate the scofflaws because they can, you know, because for one thing, people can't list their sites on Airbnb if they don't have a registration number. Once people have a registration number, they have to send quarterly reports to the city saying exactly how many nights they rented out, and the city can audit those and has the power of administrative subpoena to go to Airbnb and HomeAway and other sites to reconcile to make sure that people are not renting their homes out for more than 90 days a year for an entire home, which is the limit in San Francisco.
I think you have thousands of unregistered hosts, so how do you go after them? Or who goes after them?
Well, the thing is, there will no longer be thousands of unregistered hosts. That's the whole point of this new requirement. During the time that there were the thousands of unregistered hosts, the city had to play sort of a cat and mouse game. They would use social media. They would look at photos. People take photos from inside their apartment. You can see out the window what's outside. The city could, use all kinds of sort of creative ways to zero in on them. But now their job will be much easier. The unregistered hosts don't really have too many places to go, because any site that arranges a stay in an unregistered place is liable for very steep fines. And it's much easier for the city to go after the sites, which are, big sites that are clearly there, than to try to track down these individual unregistered hosts.
Carolyn Seed again here with us, the studio's business staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Christopher Nolte's head of public affairs in the Americas for Airbnb. You can't be all that happy about this, Christopher Nolte. How's it going from your perspective?
We actually, we think this is great, and we were really excited to work with the city to establish an agreement over the last, year or so that actually reflects similar agreements that we've established in cities like Chicago, New Orleans, and others over the last couple of years, where we work really closely with the city to make sure that it's possible for people to register with the city to comply with the rules, and that we're removing hosts who are not in compliance with those rules. Really look forward to being able to build our business in San Francisco on a really strong foundation where the rules are clear and where it's easy for people to comply.
Those who don't comply? I mean, from the perspective of Airbnb.
Those are people who will not be on our platform in San Francisco. The law is very clear, and the agreement that we've established with the city creates a pretty clear process through which people have to register through our platform with the city. And without a registration number, as Carolyn pointed out, you won't be able to list your home on Airbnb in San Francisco. But I think what's really important here is another point that Carolyn made and that Carolyn's reporting has shown over the last couple of years, which is that the vast majority of people who are listing their homes on our platform are doing so in their primary residences. These are people who are renting out an extra room, sharing part of their in-law suite when family's not using it. People are renting out their entire place while they're gone. And, we're really excited that those folks are going to continue to be on our platform and will continue to be fantastic hosts here in our hometown.
Well, we're talking about registration for home sharing sites, and I do want to invite you, our listeners, this is a half-hour segment, so if you have questions, please bring them to the fore now, and if you have comments, we'd like to hear from you as well, and there are a number of ways you can join us. First of all, our toll-free number is available. The number to call, 866-733-6786. Call us now, and we'll try to get you on as soon as we can. Again, that number, 866-733-6786, or email any questions or comments to forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Again, Carolyn Saeed with us in studio, business staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Christopher Nolte with us by phone, head of public affairs for the Americas for Airbnb. I'm reading, Carolyn, that you got about 300 households are no longer going to be affordable, and you got about 60 days now with $11 million in income. I mean, where these figures may sound a little bit magical, but they're at least out there in terms of lost income, for example. $11 million?
I'm sorry, I don't know what that number is.
It's just a number that has to do with the shortfall, I mean, in terms of what's being lost here by those. The numbers are way down, aren't they, in terms of those who are registering?
Yes. So in August, the city found that Airbnb had about 8,400 listings plus 2,600 that were exempt and continue to be exempt. So that comes to like 11,000. So far, about 3,000 hosts have either registered or applied to register, some of whom have extra rooms. So maybe that comes to, 3,500 listings in all. There's a last minute rush. It is human nature to wait until the last minute. I think some hosts, even though I know Airbnb and HomeAway have been very diligent about communicating over and over again to their hosts through email, through text, they've had town halls, they've done all kinds of things. And nevertheless, many people just wait to the last minute. And I think tomorrow, when they wake up and see that their listing has been removed from Airbnb, they may decide to go ahead and register.
Where does Vrbo fit into this, or does it?
VRBO and is and HomeAway are basically the same website. VRBO, which stands for Vacation Rentals by Owners, and HomeAway are both owned by Expedia. They list pretty much exactly the same listings, homes, on their two websites. They're just two different brands under one umbrella. But both HomeAway and VRBO, as well as FlipKey, pride themselves on most of their listings are people's second homes, their little pied-à-terre in San Francisco or elsewhere, and those would now be illegal. I don't have the numbers for HomeAway, but FlipKey had to remove about 500 listings. They're down to something like 87 listings in San Francisco, not counting the ones that are exempt from the regulation, like longer-term stays and hotels and B&Bs.
I'm going to go right to our calls, but there's a 30-day appeal process for rejections.
There is. 30 days. You have if you're rejected, you have 30 days to appeal, and then you should get a decision in 30 days. The city is rejecting quite a few of those who are applying. It's a pass-through in the sense that Airbnb takes the information and passes it to the city, but it is not automatic registration. The city must verify that the people actually live there and that they live there 9 months of the year, and that takes a little doing, and the city is being pretty strict and rejecting people who don't seem to qualify.
Let me go to our callers. Frank, you're up first here. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning. I'm a own my home in San Francisco, and I just want to know, why are the people that rent out rooms in their homes subject to that 90-day limit? I can understand the large apartment complexes. You're trying to keep them from going on a day-by-day rental, but a lot of the people in San Francisco who pay the property tax, pay all the add-ons that the city throws at us every year, they want to stay in San Francisco, and they want to supplement the income to help them do that. It's just not the renters that increases that it's affecting, you know, the people who live here and own property. Why are we subjected to just 90 days? Why can't we have a higher number of days? And then the large apartment people have the, you know, the restrictions put on them. I just don't think it's fair, along with, you know, the restrictions we have already for rent control.
I think Carolyn wants to respond to your question.
Frank, let me tell you, I'm sorry, the 90-day limit is for renting out an entire house. So rent, if you left your house and rented it out via Airbnb for 6 months, say, that would not be allowed, because that would mean you're not really a resident of San Francisco if you're gone 6 months. If you're renting a room in your house to tourists through Airbnb or any other website, you can rent that room 365 days a year. There is no limit on renting a room in the house when you are there.
And let me thank Frank for the call. Kurt writes, I think the $340 filing fee plus the prospect of being further squeezed for cash by City Hall is a big factor in terms of hosts removing listings. Carolyn, you agree?
Yeah, I would say that is true. I mean, Airbnb says, and I think this is also, again, true, that many of their hosts are people who do it casually, you know, maybe a week or so a year when they go on their family vacation. They want to rent out the house to help pay for it. But if they have to pay $250 to register plus $90 to the city for a business license fee, which is refundable if the only business they have is vacation rentals. But nevertheless, that's a pretty steep burden. And if they're only going to rent their place for a year or two, they may be deterred. I think the other really big deterrent, the other really big reason we're not seeing as many registrations as we thought we might, is part of the city's requirement is if you are a tenant and you are a condo owner, when you apply to register, the city notifies your landlord. I think there are a number of tenants whose leases bar subletting and or just haven't talked about it with their landlord, and they're afraid they're going to get kicked off. So they are choosing to no longer do Airbnb. For instance, I've heard that the Castro, which is a very, very heavy place for renters as opposed to owners, has seen a dramatic decrease in the number of Airbnb listings.
Can you weigh in on this, Christopher Nolte? I mean, from your perspective, why numbers are down?
Yeah, I mean, so I think there's a couple factors at play here, one of which is, you know, as Carolyn mentioned, the way that people use our platform can be very casual. In fact, there's about 4,000 listings on our platform that as of, you know, October, had not been booked in the last 6 months. And so, you know, that's a large swath of what we're seeing come off of the platform. And so when you really look at it, you know, we expect that after this process, you know, after this process happens, you know, tomorrow at 12:01, when all listings that have not been registered or not exempt will be removed, we expect there'll be about 5,500 listings on our platform in San Francisco. And what's really important is that, you know, those 4,000 listings that have been removed had not been booked in the last 6 months. So the core of the listings that were frequently booked, that were, you know, really a big part of our community and, you know, our revenue here in San Francisco, have been protected under this rule, in large part because for so long it has been, you know, people renting out their primary residences on our platform. Now, you know, to the point about 90 days, you know, Carolyn's point is important. I think also, you know, when the law was first passed, 90 days was sort of seen as a proxy for this being your primary residence. What's really important about the rules and the way that they work today is that it will ensure that people are only renting their primary residences, which you could argue would mean that that 90-day cap is really no longer quite as necessary. And other cities that have looked at this have said, if we can really make sure that we understand and can verify that this is someone's primary residence that they're renting out, we can do away with a specific night cap that was otherwise being used as a proxy to make things easier for the city and for enforcement.
All right, let me bring more callers aboard here. Emily, join us. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, so I am a resident of a four-unit rent-controlled building in Oakland, and since April of last year, we've been living beneath a year-round Airbnb rental. Our landlord just puts a lockbox out, and she lives in Richmond, so never meets the tenants that come. So in Oakland, my understanding is that Airbnb rentals are basically unregulated, and just wanted to comment that I really wish they would enact similar legislation over here. And I also wish that Airbnb would be more proactive about preventing this type of skirting of rent control laws before being forced to by local governments.
Christopher Nolte, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that we think is really important is that cities take on an approach that regulates not just Airbnb, but every other player in the short-term rental marketplace. And, you know, Carolyn pointed this out earlier, and I think it's really important. There's VRBO, there's HomeWay, there are smaller players like FlipKey. One of the things that we have championed from the beginning is, you know, that we think it's really important that rent control apartments are protected, that they are not ever being used to evict tenants, to replace them with short-term rentals. But what's most important here is that nobody understands where rent control apartments exist better than the cities themselves. And so in San Francisco, in Oakland, in Berkeley, in Los Angeles, and elsewhere, we have supported rules that have put pretty clear and strict restrictions on what can be done in a rent-controlled apartment. In San Francisco, for example, a tenant who has the permission of their landlord to rent out their place on a short-term basis, whether it's a room in their home while they're there or the entire place while they're gone, cannot make more money on a monthly basis than what they're paying in rent. And that was rules that we supported going back to 2014. You know, when it comes to Oakland, we've been collecting and remitting hotel taxes there for the last couple of years. Have been having, you know, a number of good conversations with the city and would like to see rules put into place, and certainly would support rules that would ensure that rent-controlled apartments were not being turned into short-term rentals.
I'm going to read a question from, well, it's more of a comment, and go to you again on this, Christopher Nolte, get your response. Andrew writes, what liability for hosts not following the law will Airbnb have? The entire gig industry seems to be all about tapping into other people's money while insulating the companies from any liability, usually incentivizing individuals to break the law.
Yeah, you know, I think that this is a really good example of the way that we have worked with the city to ensure that exactly that does not happen. You know, as mentioned earlier in the program, sort of the hallmark of this is the ability to list on our platform will require that you have been you know, given by the city a short-term rental permit number, and that you have passed all of their checks that you're qualified, that it is your primary residence, that if you're a tenant, you have the permission of your landlord. You know, and we are proud of this agreement. We think that, you know, it's the right thing for San Francisco. We think it's the right thing to move forward. We also, most importantly, believe that when there are really clear rules that are easy to follow, that more people are interested in, you know, taking part in home sharing. When the rules are clear, when people understand what they can and can't do, and they have confidence in that system, and they know that they're within the letter of the law, they're much more interested and willing to, you know, hop onto the Airbnb platform and share their space.
Carol Saeed, what's your perception of, I mean, we're getting a picture from Christopher Nolte of Airbnb being a really good citizen and dutiful and following all the regs here and so forth. Want to comment on that?
Well, I do think it's true that Airbnb would like to have clear regulations wherever it operates. I mean, it's easier for a company to know what the rules are. I do also think it's true that Airbnb, like Uber and Lyft and other new on-demand companies, created new business models that were not foreseen by existing regulations and pretty much went ahead and did them and sort of, you know, acted first and asked for forgiveness later, and now are you know, indeed trying to, you know, work with cities to get regulations to give them more clarity. I mean, I'm sure that they all would be perfectly happy not to have any regulations, though. I also think that, you know, there is a chance that this could slow their growth. What Airbnb said to me is that from December 5th through January 5th, they had the exact same number of guests in San Francisco this most recent year as the same period last year. However, worldwide during that same time, they saw tremendous growth. For instance, their New Year's Eve listings grew 50% from 2016 to 2017. So there is a chance that the regulations could slow their growth, which is something that a pre-IPO company is usually not enthusiastic about.
Let me go to more calls. Let's go next to Max. Max, join us.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I just had a question regarding out-of-town or out-of-state landlords. How are they going to be held accountable when they're renting their properties and not even checking in? I've seen several units on my own block in the Mission District over the last 5 years basically get turned into tourist hotels. You see people with suitcases, you know, entering the codes on lockboxes outside of these apartments that have been totally redone and made just for a kind of turnkey situation for tourists. I'm just curious how landlords who aren't around in the neighborhood or even in the state are going to be checked on or held accountable for turning these residential neighborhoods into short-term hotels.
Well, that's a great question, and that's exactly what these stricter new regulations are designed to thwart. People who do not, landlords who don't live in the town, who don't live in the state, who don't live in the property, cannot get a registration number, so they can't list their unit on any of these sites. They could still list on Craigslist because it doesn't actually arrange stays, but that's going to be a lot harder. I mean, if you want to run a successful vacation rental business, you need to list on these big sites like Airbnb and HomeAway because they have the big population of people looking. So those, your landlord will not be able to do that anymore, or your neighboring landlord. The one loophole, though, is they could still rent these turnkey places if they rent them for 30-plus days. Those longer-term units are exempt from the regulations.
We've got seconds left here, but I wonder, Christopher Nolte, if you'd respond quickly, if you could, to a listener named Max who says, considering Airbnb has greatly contributed to the decimation of the city's housing stock, perhaps Airbnb could work with landlords and local housing and tenant activists to reestablish rental units. That could actually develop some goodwill between the renters in San Francisco and Airbnb. Should be open
to
that?
Absolutely. And we've worked with a number of different groups on a number of different issues in San Francisco, you know, everything from homelessness issues in the city to making it easier for tenants to be able to share their homes and their primary residences. But I think what's most important here is that, you know, the opponents of home sharing have manipulated this issue for the last 2 or 3 years to hide a long history of bad housing policy in San Francisco that has ensured that 30,000+ units of housing remain vacant at any given time in the city. And as Carolyn's reporting has pointed out, and as our own data that we share with the city has pointed out, at any given time, there have been about 300 people on our platform who are sharing homes that are probably not their primary residences, that they're renting on a full-time basis. And
we'll
so
have to let it stand.
We're really glad that this law is going to clarify that.
We'll have to let it stand there. And Christopher Nolte, appreciate your being with us. Christopher Nolte, again, is head of public affairs in the Americas for Airbnb. And Carolyn Saeed, thank you for being with us.
Thanks.
Carolyn is business staff writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. When we return, we're going to talk about rape on the night shift, revisiting abuse against women janitors. Stay tuned for that.